This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here's the pitch, and it is lined on a hop to second base. Hamilton backhands, he plants, he throws to first, in time, ball game over. The Red Sox win it on the 4th of July in the nation's capital, 11-2. Giolito was awesome. Story, four hits and a homer, and the Red Sox on a roll here in D.C.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and a very happy 4th of July to you. Welcome into WEEI Afternoons here on 93.7 WEEI Boston Sports Original. No Andy Hart, no Nick Fitzy-Stevens, no Ted Johnson. No problem here on this Friday. Dan Ball and John Lyons with you up until 6 o'clock here on the afternoon program. We got David Azar riding back behind the glass. And we got you at 617-779-7937. Thanks so much for making us a part of your Independence Day. John Lyons, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Yeah, happy to be here. Ted and Andy are off lifting weights somewhere. So you and I are here talking about the Red Sox postgame. Great win today, by the way, for the Red Sox. And it's something that, it's funny because I was on here yesterday with Mego and I was talking about how, man, they really blew that game against the Reds. And even though they won that series, it almost felt like they lost it in the way they lost that game on Wednesday night. And then today was a nice bounce back. And obviously they have to keep it going. And this is an opportunity for the Red Sox where they have a series against the Nationals, who are not good.
Right.
And they follow it up with a series against the Rockies, who are definitely not good.
Somehow worse.
Yes. So this is an opportunity. This six-game span, can you win five out of six? And that, then it would, A, you'd be over 500, but B, you would have real momentum going into that series against the Rays, which is right before the All-Star break, because there's been a lot of questions around this Red Sox team. You know, are they buyers? Are they sellers? How do they look after the Devers trade? And there's been some good moments, but let's not forget, sure, they won five out of six, but they lost six in a row last week, right? And they won today, which was great. I want to see, can they take a performance like today, Dan, and use it as a springboard kind of going forward, especially against a couple teams that they should be better than.
Quick aside, the Rockies are playing the White Sox this weekend, the stoppable force and movable object series before they get
the college football game. They would call it the No One Cares Bowl.
That's right. Yeah. The you know, the hypothetical, just put two teams together like UMass and UConn or something like that when they play every year. But
anyways, don't disrespect UMass football.
I know.
Regional powerhouse.
Hey, UMass hockey is my favorite team of all time.
Why don't we spend July 4th? I know the listeners will love this.
Yeah.
Let's spend a segment on July 4th talking about the new UMass coaching staff, who I think is going to be a step up, but they'll be a little bit better.
Okay, and from your background as a coach, you know you know your way around what they're building there.
So it's like the listeners, that was for you.
Okay,
yeah.
617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. We're starting with the Boston Red Sox, winners 11-2 over the Washington Nationals. And John, you bring up something that as a fan of this group, I almost feel dumb. Every time that I crack a microphone or have a conversation with a friend, you can just isolate that because I feel that on a daily basis. But I feel dumb when I have a conversation that starts with optimism, because there, as you mentioned, there are streaks of 5 of 6 wins and there are streaks of 6 of 7 losses. And for every one step forward, there's one step back. And that's why we sit here for now the 4th season in a row talking about a team that seems to be locked in this 500 purgatory, which is why all of these questions that you bring up about the trade deadline and, say, the return of Alex Bregman and what that timeline looks like are so fascinating, because it really does feel like, oh, you just need one or two more things. You need X, Y, and Z, and efforts like today become more of a common thing. But you also have one or two more things go wrong, and we're talking about a team that is on the outside looking in and is probably selling at the trade deadline. So every time I want to come here and say, hey, no, this is the run, this is the time where the Red Sox finally take off, I almost feel like I'm being disingenuous, because I'm waiting for the monster that's hiding behind my closet door.
And that's why, to me, I want to see if they can stack it together.
Yeah.
Right? Because today, great win today, 11-2. I mean, they had the 7-run, 5th inning. They looked great. Giolito, by the way, he's been awesome.
Unbelievable.
Like, we need to point out, Lucas Giolito, what he's done in the past month has been even, I think, better than what their highest hopes were when they sent him. Great outing today. He's given up 6 total runs in his last 5 starts. Only 3 of them earned. So 3 earned runs in his last 5 starts. Like, that's crazy. And I think that's really, like, that's a great positive thing to hang on to. But, again, is he going to keep that up? Right? Like, that's the worry, because he's been inconsistent. You look at Brian Bello. He was terrific in the month of June, but in May he couldn't get out of the 5th inning. So can he keep up what he did in June? Because this is a team that, believe it or not, last year they were 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break.
Remarkable.
Like, they're behind that pace of last year, despite adding a guy like Garrett Crochet. And I know Bregman's out, but you had him for the first month and a half or so of the season. So, I want to see, can they take a performance like today and now stack it together? Because this is the opportunity. You're playing a Nationals team that, as I said, is not good. Then you have the Rockies at home. And don't look now, Bregman could return on this homestand. Cora has talked about it. So then can you win 5 out of these 6? And even if you split with Tampa Bay, ideally win 3 out of 4. But even if you win 5 out of these 6, split with Tampa Bay, then all of a sudden, hey, that's 7 wins in your last 10 or so games going into the All-Star break. Like, then you feel much better going into the All-Star break, I think.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And I think that the point that you hit on of winning the next, you know, winning the week, essentially, winning the week that you have before the All-Star break is just geared towards, I don't need you to get back into the division race in 1 week's time. You have,
by the way, only 2 games out of the wild card
right now. So it really is a hot series against the Nationals and a hot series against the Rockies away from having you within, on the doorstep, if not in one of those wild card spots. But all of the eyes are more towards just be good enough for this franchise to believe in investing at the trade deadline, adding instead of subtracting, where you can say we're going after a Josh Naylor or a Ryan O'Hearn or a Rhys Hoskins to play first base, versus I'm selling on Aroldis Chapman, I'm selling on Jarren Duran, I'm selling on Alex Bregman, and I'm once again going back on my word from the offseason where we were all in and we were full throttle and we were all of the different things that keep Red Sox fans up at night. That hot stretch before the All-Star break that you talk about isn't even, hey, prove that you're a World Series contender. At least for me, it isn't prove that you're a World Series contender in a week's time. It's just prove to your own organization that you are worth investing in, and prove to the fan base that you believe that this team is worth investing in. And that's a pretty low bar that you need to get to for me.
Yeah, it is definitely a low bar, but that's the bar, unfortunately, we've been talking about going on 4 years now, right? Like, 2 last place finishes, then 81 and 81. You had a lot of promise coming into the year with Crochet, with Bregman, with Chapman, and Crochet and Chapman have delivered.
Yeah.
They've been terrific. And Bregman, before he got hurt, delivered. He was terrific. So the guys you brought in were fantastic, the top 3. But Buehler's been a disaster. Hauk was a disaster. Hopefully he comes back better. Bayo's been inconsistent. Giolito has been great, as I said, in June, but not so much before that. Can these guys now develop some more consistency? Because if Crochet stays good and Chapman stays good and you get Bregman back and he's, you know, continues to perform like he did before he got hurt, and these other guys can be more consistent, then we're talking about a team that can be a wild card team and at least challenge for the lead in the AL East, right? They're not going to win the division tomorrow, but can at least and this, like, an AL East that Toronto's been on fire, but I don't know if I'm really a full believer in Toronto as a legit contender. I think the Yankees are a contender, but they've stumbled lately.
Yeah.
Baltimore has been a disaster, a shocking disaster to me.
It's amazing. And a cautionary tale of what happens when you don't invest in veterans.
Yes.
By the way,
like Corbin Burns walk.
Exactly.
And don't sign Max Fried, all that. Right. And then Tampa Bay, to me, look, they're a good team, but I don't, there's just, I wonder if this is going to be one of those years with Tampa where you get to August and September and they fall off a little bit. Just so many young guys there. You know, it almost feels like they're kind of getting into that next cycle. Because, you know, every 3 years they have that kind of down year and then they get better and better and better. It's not a full down year, obviously, but it feels like they're kind of on the edge of that cycle. So my point in saying all that is that the AL is open enough that the Red Sox can be a playoff team if they can stack games like these together.
And it's games like today that give you that kind of hope that say there's no reason that you should be six games behind Toronto or the Rays or even the Yankees, because we've seen the matchups in person, especially with the Yankees. It's always fun to see the Red Sox be able to perform in those games. But it's efforts like this where you get all nine guys contributing, where you see David Hamilton laying down a bunt, where you play an error-free game, where you get quality innings out of your starting pitching and you're able to save the bullpen. It's every single one of these inconsistencies and these questions and the things that make us tear our hair out all of a sudden are answered in games like this, which is why when you have the conversation of is this team worth believing in, is this team worth investing in, it's efforts like today that go, well, this is what Durant is capable of when he's going well. This is what, oh my God, what Roman Anthony is capable of when he's finally able to find a patch of grass instead of hitting it right into somebody's glove. There are so many little shiny objects that you see around this group. When I watch them play, when everybody's playing well, it's really easy to believe in, I think, what the potential of the group is. But then you get a game like Game 3 against Cincinnati, and I go, well, why should I care? Why should I believe? Because you're just doing the same crap over and over again, and it's a frustrating back and forth that we have to live.
And I think if you look at the way they played today, obviously the Nationals being a bad team helps, but they didn't commit any errors.
Right.
They got timely pitching, and even just go to that fifth inning, right, the seven-run fifth inning. You have Abreu drawing a walk to drive in a run, like patience at the plate, timely patience, by the way, and then right after that, Story, right? He's not worried about launch angle or anything. Just hits a single to center and you score two more runs, right? Like timely hitting with guys, because that's something they have struggled with all year. I mean, they've been in the 20s most of the year. As of a few days ago, they were 22nd in average with runners in scoring position, right? Can you do the little things well? You didn't make any errors. You got timely pitching. You also hit with guys on. You were able to draw walks. And again, I know the Nationals are bad and that helps, but you did the little things right today. And I think for a team that doesn't have a Rafael Devers anymore, and a team that is unfortunately relying on guys like Anthony Meyer and Narvaez, who are all rookies, you're going to have to do the little things well, because those, and look, Narvaez, we talked about this off air, he should be an all-star.
Oh,
I think
my God.
He's been
MVP of your season.
I think he's been the second best catcher in the AL behind Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, 100%.
But still, he's a rookie. Like, there's at some point, there's probably going to be a dry spell for him at the plate. We saw Meyer and Anthony struggle at the plate when they came up. So when you're relying on guys like that, you need to do all the other little things well. And I think so often they haven't. And Wednesday night was a perfect example when Anthony really committed two errors and got charged for none. And you had Story committed an error, Toro committed an error, right? But then today, they did all the little things right. Like, that to me should be what their goal is. Is like, can we do the little things right? And that's going to help you stack these wins together.
We've had the conversation so many times in this time slot, John, of, well, what is the identity of the Boston Red Sox? What are the core pillars, pull out whatever corporate term you want to use. What are the foundational items that make up the 2025 Red Sox? And for so much of the season, the answer has been almost impossible to get to, because you have a team that hits a lot of home runs, or is top 10 in home runs, but top 3 in strikeouts. And then you look at the personnel that they roll out every single night, and you go, this is not a home run hitting lineup. This is a team that has players that is capable of hitting home runs, but Duran should be a guy focusing on getting on base. Anthony is a guy who seems to be able to drive it to the gap. You've got a bunch of young kids, a bunch of contact hitters, speedsters, guys that can get on and create havoc. And that's why it always confused me to see where those strikeout numbers were and just the fundamental lack of getting on base that you talk about, because this group seems like they should be a small ball, do the little things, get on base consistently type group. So
I think if they did all those things, Dan, they'd have 6 or 7 more wins.
So is that
Wednesday night game against Cincinnati, yeah, they lost by 4 runs. If they just field the ball properly, they probably win that game.
Right.
Like crazy. If Romy Gonzalez doesn't run to third on a double to left field,
right,
you probably win the game. Like, that's the thing. So they probably, to me, if they just did those things, current roster,
yeah,
just did the little things well, probably talking about 6-ish more wins and be having a different conversation.
We're certainly talking about more one-run wins. Because those little things.
They were bad early on. Remember their first 13 of them? They were 4-9?
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
I mean, they're still, at this point, it was 19 as of like a week or two ago. I'm quickly going to the expanded thing to see. Yeah, 9-19 is what you are. So if you flip that to where that number is even at 500, we're talking about a playoff team. And that's a couple little details game in and game out that you have to get to. We're talking Boston Red Sox here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball and John Lyons in for the guys here on this 4th of July. And we also have you at 617-779-7937. Ryan in Westfield will lead us off. What's up, Ryan?
Hi, guys. I just think that we need to start taking this team real seriously down the stretch. I mean, they got 2 easy series here this week. This week and the next against the Nationals and the Rockies. They can get hot, work a little bit of magic here. I think they're a real threat to go and make some noise in the playoffs. I mean, maybe not make the division, but definitely the wild card. I'm not really scared of any of these teams in the AL. I mean, AL is really weak. I think the key to our success is going to be Yoshida coming back. I think he could be a huge bat for us, but I think this team can get real hot.
All right. Thank you for the call, Ryan. That is optimism. Is that based in reality as you hear?
So that point on the AL, like Detroit and the Yankees are really good. And I know the Yankees have stumbled lately.
Yeah.
And I know Soto's not there tomorrow. Max Fried's a Cy Young candidate. Like, that's a really good team.
Right.
And Detroit has been terrific. So I think that's a little bit too far. But I'll say this to the caller's point, and this is where I would agree with the caller. There's no reason you shouldn't be a playoff team. You're as bad and as frustrating as they have been, Dan, they're only 2 games out of the wild card right now. And it's going to be probably less today, depending on what happens as MLB action goes. So you should be a playoff team. I mean, naturally, if you're the Red Sox, you should be a playoff team anyway.
Right.
But this specific team, again, you're 2 games out of the wild card, and you've been without Bregman for 6 weeks. And Walker Buehler has been a huge problem for the entire month of June. And yet you're still right there.
It's funny you bring that up because Matt in Rhode Island has a thought on Walker Buehler. Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Hey, afternoon, guys. Happy 4th. Thanks for coming in. It's a great show. Well, just first lines, I think I called you yesterday and you were talking about the Fenway score.
Yes.
They never give errors. How about the Hamilton era? Like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah. You see, that has been a Fenway Park epidemic for like 20 years. You know, the errors that shouldn't be. And it's amazing that the Red Sox still are near the top of the league in errors, and that happens at Fenway all the time.
Yeah, well, Campbell thing got it right there. Well, whatever. It was a great game here, but, you know, it's a day-by-day thing, right? But here's the thing for tomorrow. Like, Walker Buehler, I mean, it's all on the line tomorrow. Big game, Red Sox-Nationals, but it is for him. He's got to have a good start and get some runs for the guy and take a little pressure off, so... You know, I believe in that kid. He's pitching big games. He seems to say all the right stuff. He's not quite Sale-like, but he's owning it. And I want to keep him on the team and hopefully pitching better.
Matt, always appreciate the call. I'm not as much of a believer in Walker at this point. I like him, and I really wish a guy with his resume and his pedigree and seemingly his accountability for not pitching well could figure it out. We're talking about an 11 ERA in the month of June. Like, that is, and he has said as much as, I'm fighting for my spot in baseball right now. Guys with 7 ERAs do not belong in Major League Baseball, and I would love to see it, but I cannot see another first inning where he's putting your group behind and believing in what's going out there every fifth day.
And you said the 11 ERA in June, and that was on the heels of a ERA in May that was just under 5.
Right.
Right? So it's not even like, it's been a 2-month problem here. And you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, Dan. When they signed Walker Buehler, I was excited not because I thought he was going to be some top of the rotation arm, but I was excited because he was the one guy in the starting rotation that had won a World Series, and he had won multiple World Series, and
right.
he made the last out of the 2024 World Series in Yankee Stadium.
And I thought, made him a lot of money for it.
And I thought that experience, though, was extremely valuable. Much like Bregman in the lineup, you had a guy who knew what it took to win, and Chapman in the bullpen. You had guys at all three of those areas on the team that they know what it takes to win at a high level, and they know what it takes to win championships. But that being said, Dan, that experience doesn't do you any good when you go out there and get smoked every time you're on the mound, right? You can't sit there and teach the young guys how to prepare when your ERA is over 11. It's just, it's not going to, and that to me is the I don't even want to say frustration. It's more disappointment because, like you said, I wish he would be a lot better. I almost feel bad for the guy at this point.
Oh, yeah. You're watching the end of a career of a guy who's won multiple World Series, was a Cy Young caliber pitcher before the Tommy John surgery. I mean, had one of the best four-seam fastballs in baseball for multiple years in a row. So disappointed and sad are absolutely the ways I would go with that.
Yeah, it's a guy, too, that, again, if he was pitching even moderately well, like if his ERA was just at four, even four, a little over four, all those other things I talked about would be important because then he can pull Bayo aside, pull Hauk aside and say, hey, this is how you want to approach this, and this is what it takes to win over the course of the long haul. Even a guy like Crochet, who's the best pitcher on the staff, he hasn't been a postseason pitcher, right? Like, that's where Buehler can be valuable. But again, that value's not going to be there if you're a DFA-level pitcher. And I think to the caller's point, if he goes out there tomorrow and he gets lit up again, or look at that Toronto game. I wouldn't even say he got lit up in that Toronto game, but he gives up back-to-back homers in the first inning, and then he walks in a run in the fourth inning, can't get out of the fourth. Like, that to me, if you, even that, I wonder what his future is on the team, especially with Hauk potentially working his way back.
Well, that's the key point, and we got to hit a break so we can end on this. If we're talking about a month, 6 weeks ago, where Giolito didn't look like a major leaguer, and Hauk didn't look like a major leaguer, and Bayo couldn't get out of the fifth inning, our conversation about Buehler has a little less urgency to it because, well, nobody other than Garrett Crochet is pitching well. But your rotation is probably in the best spot that it's been in a couple of months because now Giolito has the second best ERA of any starter in baseball over the last 4 weeks. And Brian Bayo is now consistently getting through six innings and only had one start, I think, where he gave up more than three runs. And even Richard Fitz is now all of a sudden throwing 98 and 99 and claims that he has triple digits in there somewhere. So all of a sudden, the spots that were wide open behind Garrett Crochet are getting less and less with Hauk and with hopefully Dobbins on the way sometime soon. 617-779-7937. Red Sox winners by 9 here on the 4th of July. Game 1 of a 3-game series down in the nation's capital against the Washington Nationals. We have more Red Sox talk coming up here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitz. Fitzy Stevens and Ted Johnson.
We're not where we should be. It's been frustrating. And so, yeah, if there's opportunities to improve this team, we have to aggressively pursue that. That's the mindset right now. So we'll see. We've got, I think, 20-plus games until the trading deadline. And the mindset is one of we want to improve and we want to get back to the postseason and be the 2025 team that we thought we were building in the off season, but we haven't done it. So, you know, we've got to start playing better baseball on a more consistent basis. It's been really frustrating.
Yes, Sam Kennedy, frustrating is the exact word that I would use to describe what we've seen so far. But the Red Sox are winners 11-2 here on this Friday. WEEI Afternoons, Dan Ball, John Lyons in for the guys. Coming after on the heels of a Red Sox victory that was called by Will Fleming and Cooper Boardman.
Shout out Cooper Boardman, by the way.
Yeah.
Some run on those broadcasts. Doing a great job.
He's fantastic. And he's in such a unique spot, too, because he does a ton of work down in Worcester. So he intimately knows Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer and now seemingly Kyle Harrison, who could be coming up. So his expertise has been extra important here in 2025. And he posted a picture, John, of the booth at Nationals Park. Are you a Heights guy?
Don't love heights. I'm
don't
not like terrified of them,
yeah,
but don't love them.
Would you like to paint the auditory picture of the
nine-story booth at Nationals Park? I've been up there before, too. I took a tour of the stadium. This was like 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Great park, by the way. Like probably top five or six park I've ever been to. And Wrigley's up there for me, Petco Park, love them. But yeah, I don't know who designed that because parts of the design are brilliant. Like you can see the Capitol building down, I think the left field line.
Right.
You can see the Washington Monument over like the center field scoreboard. But they put the press box in the broadcast booth nine stories up. Can't see anything. I don't know. So whoever designed that had the sight lines and the monuments in Washington. A+.
Yeah, fantastic. You focused on all the stuff that's not in the baseball park.
Well, when it came to actually broadcast it, not ideal. I felt bad for my guy. And Will Fleming, of course.
Yeah, that's almost a you just have to watch the TV monitor kind of height.
I know.
Where you're going to lose the ball, especially when the sun is out like that. But, yeah, Coop's been doing a great job. Will obviously wears every single Red Sox game on his sleeve, which is appreciated for a fan base that certainly does
and
the
Joe
same.
And Joe Weil on the pregame.
How about Joe?
Hey.
How about Joe?
That man was assembled in a lab somewhere just to do Red Sox pregame and postgame. That's what Joe Weil was put on this earth to do.
When I met him in December doing fill-in shows for Christmas, he and I were paired together for a couple afternoon shows, as you and I were back at that point. And somebody did tell me, like, hey, you know, his thing is really baseball. So if you want to do a baseball-heavy show, I'm like, yeah, all right, it's December. You know, the Patriots are still playing. Every other team other than the Red Sox are playing. And then I met him and heard how he talked about baseball and realized, oh, this is going to be 4 hours on baseball that we're doing here on this station in the middle of December. But we love all of them. They do a wonderful job. So Rob Bradford has you for pregame tomorrow, and then Will and Coop will have the call. Those comments from Sam Kennedy mirror something that you brought up that you talked about last week when Craig Breslow was on the Nesson broadcast, as apparently he and Sam just alternate being the analyst on the Nesson pregame show
nowadays.
And this
is one thing I will give them credit for. They have been out there a lot Devers was traded, especially Breslow, because I don't know how you feel about this, Dan. I think when it comes to baseball ops, Kennedy's kind of out of the loop. Like, he's the president of the business side, and he is the president of the team, but it's Breslow's show. And we saw in the Jeff Passan article how Breslow has insulated himself to some degree, and it feels like, again, Kennedy, I'm not saying he's not involved, but it feels like this is the Breslow show.
Yeah,
in the front office,
for sure.
And he's been out there a lot, to his credit. We haven't loved everything he said. Some of it I actually agree with, but to his credit, he has been out there a lot.
And I'm hoping that's a direct result of what happened around the Devers trade. And I'm sure it has to be. That's not a hot take by any stretch of the imagination. But the preceding issues that happened between Breslow and Devers that led to John Henry coming in, and the trade itself, that disaster of a Zoom call that they had after the trade was completed, when they went on to take on the Seattle Mariners, and then the multiple hit pieces, the hit piece from Passan, the hit piece from the Boston Globe talking about how Breslow's very insulated and has been, you know, trimming the fat in the organization for his entire tenure at this point. So I'm hoping that is a direct result of all of the negative bluster. And now I'm hoping that they're not
leading us on, and they're not just stringing us along as fans and as people who follow this team regularly. I'm hoping that what I'm hearing from Sam Kennedy, the mouthpiece of ownership, so to speak, and Breslow, whose show it is, are going to match up with the actions. And now Kennedy and Breslow have both planted their flag and said, we are buying, we are investing. And so I'm hoping with all these public appearances, what they're telling us is going to mirror up with reality.
And I'm not sure about the exact answer to this, Dan. So when was the last time they were an actual buyer at the trade deadline? I mean, was it 2018? And I know they got Steve Pierce early then.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, they didn't buy in 19. 2020, they were terrible. 21, they got Schwarber, but that was the discount Anthony Rizzo, right? They didn't get Anthony Rizzo. Remember, he went to the Yankees.
Oh, they got Schwarber. Yeah.
And Schwarber ended up working out, and it was great, but then they let him walk, too. So, they weren't even, full buyers then, obviously, and then 22, 23, they weren't buyers. Last year, they were 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break, but I didn't view them as true buyers. So it's been a long time since they've been true buyers at or around the trade deadline. And I think when you look at where this roster is, you have an ace. You have a legit closer. You have a couple other good bullpen arms. You have some nice pieces in your lineup. Like we talked to earlier, Narvaez should be an all-star. When Bregman comes back, he was at an all-star caliber level before he got hurt. But you have some holes there. You need another legit bat in that lineup that's not 21 years old, right? You need another starter that you can rely on that's actually had a full season of being a good starting pitcher in the majors, which they don't have any guys right now that fit that description. So they have the two needs right there in front of you. And I don't know if you can trade for six defensive replacements too, Dan, but they have the needs right there in front of you.
Yeah.
It's will they go to do it? And I wonder, to the earlier caller's point, is this weekend and early next week going to maybe go a long way in determining that?
I would have to imagine, if there is still legitimacy to what they're saying, that they are going to buy, that the next 10 days and then that stretch after the All-Star break are going to tell us everything we need to know, because not only are you playing easy teams leading into the All-Star break, you are getting Bregman back. You're supposed to get Yoshida back. And now apparently, like you mentioned, Houck should be back. You're hopefully talking to Hunter Dobbins on the horizon. You should be able to be full go for not a huge stretch of time, but enough to be able to get an idea. Even if it's, say, it's 10 games and you go 7-3, 8-2, and it's meshing, and Bregman's right back to, you know, hitting over 300 and being a great right-handed hitter at Fenway, and all those things click, then, well, maybe you can justify it. But more questions than answers as we sit here on the 4th of July. Heading into the 3 o'clock hour on WEEI Afternoons, we'll transition away from the Red Sox for a moment. Plenty to get to as the offseason's rage on for the Patriots, the Bruins, and the Celtics. Plus, it's the 4th of July, so we can kick our feet up a little bit and talk about some of the other fun things going on today. But before any of that, we have our 3-point stance on WEEI Afternoons, and that is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.